Open to John chapter 21. Have you ever messed up so badly you wish you could just press rewind and get a do-over? Like that time maybe that you walked into what you thought was an open glass door only to bounce backwards with everyone watching? Or maybe there was a time you said, I've got this. Only moments later to discover you definitely did not have this. Well, take heart, you're in good company. Today we're looking at Peter, who's probably the patron saint of, I probably shouldn't have said that. Peter famously promised Jesus that he'd never deny him, then promptly did exactly that, three times. Thankfully, Jesus specializes in second chances, and third, and fourth, and fifth. And today we'll explore Peter's remarkable story of restoration. Bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, open our hearts today to your word and to your grace. Guide us to see clearly your love and restoration as demonstrated in Peter's life. May we be renewed by your presence and empowered to follow you faithfully. Amen. All right, in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter's restoration shows us vividly that failure is not the final when the grace of Christ intervenes. Peter's failure was severe. He had openly declared his unwavering devotion and courageously promised never to abandon Jesus. Yet, at that crucial moment, Peter faltered and denied Jesus three times. Remember, Peter had boldly proclaimed, even if everyone else abandoned you, I will never leave you, in Matthew 26, 33. Imagine the depth of his shame, of his regret. Jesus deliberately meets Peter at the place of his failure, directly asking him, do you love me more than these? Jesus was gently reminding Peter of his earlier bold claim. The Greek word for love, agape, is the noun form, which you're probably familiar with. Here we see the verb form, agapeo, and it reflects a profound sacrificial love. And Jesus is essentially asking, Peter, is your love truly greater, truly deeper than everyone else's? Jesus is gently confronting Peter's earlier boast. And Jesus was guiding Peter to honestly face and recognize his own heart condition. This honest reflection is essential for genuine restoration. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, failures, repeated failures are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward, towards success. In Peter's case, his failure wasn't the end. It was a necessary confrontation with his own limitations, a humbling moment that would ultimately strengthen his faith. Throughout Scripture, we encounter numerous individuals who denied God or turned away from his clear instructions, yet experienced profound restoration through God's mercy and grace. Consider Adam and Eve, who explicitly disobeyed God's command by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Despite the rebellion, God clothed them and promised a future redeemer, initiating a plan for humanity's redemption. Moses initially hesitated and questioned God's instructions to deliver Israel from slavery, expressing feelings of inadequacy and doubt. Nevertheless, God patiently reassured Moses, empowering him to become one of Israel's greatest leaders. Jonah deliberately ran from God's command to preach repentance to Nineveh. Yet, after a humbling experience within a great fish, God restored him and renewed his calling, leading to a city's repentance. King David, who grievously sinned by committing adultery and murder, experienced God's mercy when confronted by the prophet Nathan, leading David to heartfelt repentance and restoration. Each of these examples underscores a powerful truth. God's grace is greater than our failures, consistently offering renewal, restoration, and purpose despite human frailty and sin. Well, Jesus' interaction with Peter in this passage is remarkable because it addresses both emotional wounds and spiritual restoration. Notice how deliberately and compassionately Jesus engages Peter. Each question, "Do you love me?" reflects Jesus' deep care for Peter's emotional and spiritual healing. Jesus first uses the Greek word agapeo, denoting a deep, sacrificial, and unconditional love. Peter responds cautiously with philia, indicating friendship or affection, revealing his awareness of previous overconfidence and his present vulnerability. When Jesus repeats the question the second time, again using agapeo, it's as though he gently pushes Peter to reflect deeper on his commitment. Peter, maintaining humility, responds with philia, signaling his honest self-assessment and reluctance to make grand declarations. Finally, on the third questioning, Jesus himself switches to philia, graciously meeting Peter exactly where he is, acknowledging Peter's sincerity and humility. This exchange is deeply symbolic, mirroring Peter's threefold denial with a threefold restoration. Each repetition of Jesus' question isn't meant to shame Peter, but to heal him thoroughly, leaving no part of his guilt or self-doubt unresolved. This moment demonstrates the boundless compassion and sensitivity of Jesus, who addresses our deepest hurts and restores us fully and never superficially. In this moment with Peter, Jesus was performing profound spiritual surgery, healing wounds that Peter himself may not have fully comprehended at this time. It's a vivid illustration that God's restoration in our lives often addresses layers of pain or layers of shame and brokenness that we might overlook or even suppress. This passage assures us that Jesus' restoration is never superficial, but deeply transformative, restoring not only our relationship with him, but also renewing our hearts and our minds to serve him more authentically and humbly. Well, after addressing Peter's emotional and spiritual wounds, Jesus specifically commissions Peter to service. Notice the clear commands that follow each declaration of Peter's love. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. These instructions were purposeful and practical, symbolizing Jesus' trust in Peter despite his failures. The Greek verbs used here, bosko, meaning feed, and poimaino, meaning shepherd, these verbs emphasize active, compassionate, and protective pastoral care. Feed my lambs highlights the responsibility of nurturing young believers, providing spiritual nourishment through teaching and example. Take care of my sheep. That calls for vigilant oversight, protection, and guidance, ensuring believers remain healthy spiritually and emotionally. Finally, feed my sheep underscores the ongoing commitment to consistently provide mature believers with deep, sustaining spiritual nourishment. Jesus' commands illustrate progressive responsibility, indicating that restoration comes with greater trust from God. Jesus' choice to use shepherding metaphors resonates deeply with Peter's experiences and reflects God's heart as the ultimate shepherd, entrusting his flock to a restored and humble leader. Max Lucado's encouraging words resonate deeply here. God never said that the journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Peter's journey was certainly challenging, marked by trials, persecution, and ultimately martyrdom. Yet his restoration and recommissioning enabled him to drastically impact the early church. Boldly preaching Christ's resurrection, performing miracles, and guiding believers through tumultuous times. This recommissioning reminds us that God's grace is not merely forgiving, but also empowering and equipping. Peter's restoration transformed him from a man plagued by fear and failure into a courageous leader, faithfully fulfilling God's purpose. When we have failed, when we failed and sought God's forgiveness, our restoration through Christ comes with renewed purpose. God redeems our past, empowering us to nurture and guide others using our experiences, even our failures, as powerful testimonies of his transformative grace. Just as Peter became instrumental in the growth of the early church, we too can profoundly impact our communities when we embrace our restoration and commit to serving God's purposes with humility and obedience. Whatever your history is like, know that Christ stands ready not only to restore you, but to entrust you with meaningful life-giving service within his kingdom. The cost of following Christ. Jesus concludes his restorative interaction with Peter by revealing the profound cost of discipleship. He describes to Peter a future in which following him would demand the ultimate sacrifice, martyrdom. The words, "you will stretch out your hands," prophetically pointed to the type of death Peter would face, crucifixion. According to historical tradition and church history, Peter indeed faced martyrdom by crucifixion under the persecution of Emperor Nero, even requesting to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as his Savior. This prophetic revelation serves as a powerful reminder of the reality of discipleship. Following Jesus authentically involves surrender and often leads to personal sacrifice and hardship. Peter's recommissioning wasn't a call to comfort or ease. It was a call to courageous faithfulness, even in the face of suffering. Yet, remarkably, Peter willingly embraced this call, having experienced the depth of Christ's grace, Christ's forgiveness, and his restoration. Charles Spurgeon insightfully remarked, "There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below." This truth profoundly captures Peter's experience. Jesus calls to Peter and to each of us. It is clear, true discipleship may cost us everything, yet it is eternally rewarding. Peter's willingness to embrace his calling, despite knowing the cost, demonstrates his transformed heart and deep commitment to Christ. Furthermore, Peter's ultimate sacrifice shows the power of grace to strengthen and sustain believers through suffering. The grace Peter experienced in restoration, it empowered him to live fearlessly and to live sacrificially. Believers today, we must understand that the call to follow Jesus authentically may include seasons of hardship and sacrifice. Yet these sacrifices are not without purpose. They shape us more deeply into Christ's image. They deepen our faith and proclaim powerfully to the world the worth and supremacy of Christ. Peter's legacy teaches us that the true value of our lives isn't found in temporary comforts or personal achievements, but rather in faithfully pursuing and fulfilling God's divine purposes, even at great personal cost. The path of discipleship is undeniably costly, but the eternal reward and joy of faithfully following Christ far surpass any earthly hardship we may endure. So here are the four takeaways. One, your failure is not final. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus doesn't discard us after our failures, but he offers grace and restoration. Peter's denial was devastating, but Jesus restored him, reminding us that our mistakes, they don't define us. Through Christ's grace, our past does not determine our future. And secondly, restoration requires humility and honesty. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." True restoration comes when we acknowledge our weaknesses openly before God. Peter had to confront his denial and acknowledge his failure honestly. And the same goes for us. Restoration in our lives begins with humility, confession, and honest self-examination before God. And the third one, love for Christ leads to responsibility. Galatians 5:13 says, "Serve one another humbly in love." Genuine love for Jesus involves caring for his people and being committed to service. Jesus instructed Peter repeatedly to feed and care for his sheep, showing that love for him is expressed in practical, compassionate service towards others. Our love for Christ compels us to action. And the last one, following Jesus is costly, but it is so rewarding. Matthew 16:24-25. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The call of Christ involves sacrifice, but also promises eternal reward. Jesus openly told Peter about the suffering that awaited him, yet called him to follow anyways. Following Christ faithfully may cost us comfort. It may cost us security, but it grants eternal joy, fulfillment, and purpose. Peter's encounter with Jesus after his failure is an encouraging reminder to all of us. No failure is so great that Christ cannot redeem it. Jesus restored Peter gently, lovingly, and purposefully. He does the same for each and every one of us that call on him. Are you carrying burdens of past mistakes today? Christ stands ready to forgive, to restore, and to recommission you. Your failures don't have to define you. They can refine you. Hear the gentle voice of Jesus today, inviting you once again. Do you love me? Then follow me. May we, like Peter, respond with renewed hearts and lives, ready to serve our risen Lord with humility, courage, and unwavering devotion. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace that meets us in our failures. I pray that you will restore and renew each heart here today, empowering us with courage and with humility. Guide us as we faithfully fulfill our callings, knowing that your strength sustains us, and we commit our lives afresh to follow you wherever you lead us. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Well, now as we come to a time of invitation, let me ask that if there's any